First, though, Victoria's controversial pandemic legislation is due to pass the Parliament in the coming days after the state government reached a deal with some crossbenchers. The upper house sat until midnight last night debating the bill, while a crowd of angry protesters opposing the legislation camped outside the steps of, on the steps of Parliament. But it's not just anti-vaxxers and conspiracy theorists who are raising concerns about this bill and overreach. The Victorian Ombudsman, Deborah Glass, is calling for an independent oversight body with the power to review public health orders as afforded under this bill. Deborah Glass, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
You've got an opinion piece published today in that you write that laws have for many years provided for extraordinary powers to be wielded in extraordinary circumstances. So in the sense you're not against the powers of this bill.
Not at all.
But you have reservations. What are they?
Well, we've seen this in our public health legislation for a very long time, and you know, there is a lot of misinformation out there about the use of extraordinary powers. We've been living under extraordinary powers since March of 2020, mm-hmm. and my office has the power to review the detention directions, which I have done on a number of occasions, including last year's public housing towers lockdown. If and when those powers move from the chief health officer to a minister of state, they're no longer reviewable by my office, and they're not reviewable by anybody else.
So the ombudsman,
I think that is a problem.
The ombudsman doesn't have any purview over politicians' directions, only by statutory officers.
In normal circumstances, no, that's right.
What about, there will be a mechanism of oversight, though. There's a parliamentary committee that will have oversight, and the government will have to bring the health information that it's basing its orders on, you know, into the public arena within 7 days. Is that not sufficient?
There are some provisions for oversight. And one of the things I am pleased with the bill is it is much more transparent. It provides for publication of public health advice, which is essential and something that I absolutely support. In that respect, it's a vast improvement on the current system. But a parliamentary committee, first of all, it's not independent, and it's difficult to see how it would be in a position to be sort of agile enough to review a public health order in a timely way.
Let's take the example of one of the investigations you've done into the lockdown of the public housing towers. As the ombudsman, you ran an investigation of the handling of that, and you were able to because it was at the powers exercised by the chief health officer. How would a parliamentary committee be able to run a review of that public housing towers lockdown now, or would anybody be able to run one?
Well, I think you make the point. I can't see how a parliamentary committee would be able to effectively review a pandemic order. They don't have the resources. Indeed, my office, you know, doesn't have the resources to review every pandemic order. I have to be very selective in what I choose to do. But I think that, you know, the issue of independence is a key one, mm-hmm. as well as just some broader practical questions about how a parliamentary committee could make a decision on a pandemic order.
But haven't we seen examples in as this pandemic has rolled through in New South Wales? There's been parliamentary oversight, a committee grilling the health minister and the chief health officer. There's also the ongoing federal standing committee that's investigating and reviewing the federal government's response to the pandemic. I mean, these are examples that are operating now in full view.
They are, and parliamentary committees have a very important place in relation to scrutiny and oversight, no question about it. But what this legislation is trying to do, rightly in my view, is replace an emergency situation, mm-hmm. something that only comes on, you know, in really extreme circumstances, with something that will be lasting, something that will remove the emergency from the framework and provide an ongoing environment in which our public health laws can operate. And I think that calls for a very different kind of scenario. It calls for something that will be lasting. It calls for a degree of oversight that I think the public can have confidence in. There is a huge amount, not only of misinformation and ill-informed commentary out there, but real concern about potential government overreach of power.
So if there is this formal, independent, permanent oversight capacity, it would give people perhaps more trust and confidence. You're suggesting a judicial body. What would that look like? What's the precedent here? Can you give us an example we might all know?
There are a number of possibilities, and you know these are not ones that I've explored in detail because you know at the end of the day, you know the government has to decide whether it wants independent scrutiny. If it does, there are options that could be explored and should be explored to work out the detail. But a judicial body, VCAT, our tribunal, they could have an express rapid review function, and they certainly have the power to make binding decisions on pandemic orders. So I could imagine a situation where somebody could bring a case to this tribunal and seek a binding decision on the order.
So would that be, sorry to press you on this, but would that be a tribunal that already exists, like we have the AT or something, or would it be a separate tribunal set up just for this purposes, convened for this purpose?
Well, be a tribunal that already exists. I'm not suggesting that that a new body is necessary here. What I'm suggesting is that a body, certainly existing, could be empowered, specifically empowered, and specifically resourced to do this work.
One of your other concerns is that you think there's a lack of a formal and easy accessible complaints mechanism here for people. I mean, this bill has strengthened, detention penalties and fines. Isn't there a complaints mechanism within this?
There are patchy complaints mechanisms, and I think this reflects broadly how complaints against government agencies are not very coherent. If, for example, the police were enforcing it, it would be a complaint to IBAC. If another authorised officer was enforcing it, it might be a complaint to my office. But there is no uniformity. There is no there are no requirements that will highlight the need to inform people of their rights.
So that really brings us back to the Ombudsman, doesn't it? Is there any way the Victorian Ombudsman's Office, which is a well-recognised path for people who want to make a complaint, I think, people go, ring the Ombudsman on any number of things, could be brought in as the complaints mechanism for this bill?
Absolutely. I mean, there'd be no reason at all why that couldn't happen with express legislation.
We've seen very angry protests in Victoria, in Melbourne, many of them protesting this bill, others protesting other things, lockdowns, that sort of thing, mandatory vaccinations. But a lot of it around this pandemic, some of the people who slept overnight on the steps of the parliament probably. Do you believe the Andrews government has been sufficiently transparent? There's been enough consultation through this period?
I think it's been... No, I don't. To some degree, I can understand that. There is a degree of urgency in what they're doing. But I think if they had been more widely consultative, we may not be seeing some of the scenes we're seeing at present. I think there is an element... I mean, what we're seeing, surprisingly, is a bit of a coalition of the disaffected there, and some of them would probably be protesting anyway. But there are people who, I think, genuinely feel that their voices are not being heard, that there are real risks of government overreach in relation to powers that have kept us locked down for much of the last 18, 19 months. And I think people are tired, and I think people are tired of being locked down. They're tired of their freedoms being taken away. And I think if there had been a broader consultation, broader understanding of the situation people are in, we may see a bit less of that.
Deborah Glass, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Victorian Ombudsman Deborah Glass making the point she's in. Broadly in support of changing the onus of control and dissent here, assent from the Chief Health Officer to the Parliament, but thinks there needs to be more independent review mechanism.